The rest of us, if we could take our Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter number 5 this morning. I did want to give an update that if you've been looking for the different sermons over the last several months, we're getting caught up. So we do have all of them on there for January and working on December. So we got kind of behind in October and November and things, so we're trying to get the backlog done. So if you've been looking for some of those, they are going to be going up here in the next couple of weeks, as well as some of Pastor Harvey's old sermons. We're going to be working on some of those as well. All right, so we are also working on our series we started last week, Questions You're Afraid to Ask Your Pastor. And so we dealt with a very serious one last week. This week, I know some of you may be bracing for it now, we're going to be looking at a very, very important area. What is biblical leadership? What is biblical leadership? What does biblical leadership look like? We're going to be focusing on pastoral leadership this morning, but all of the things that we're going to be looking at are applicable to any person who is a spiritual leader. If you're a father or a husband, you are the spiritual leader of your home. These attributes, some of these things will be specific to the pastoral ministry, but all of these attributes, all Christians, be honest, all Christians ought to have, but if we're in any type of leadership position, we can learn something this morning, because there's the question is this: what does biblical leadership look like? There is a great movement afoot to really, I should say, demean the office of a pastor in some ways, that there are some that have given, unfortunately, the pastoral office a bad name. And how they have behaved themselves inappropriately. And really, throughout the years, Pastor Harvey and I were talking about this several months ago, that back in the day, whenever there was a scandal or whenever there was something that had to do with the pastor, it seemed like the public or people that you go out and talk to had less trust for you because you were a pastor, because they look at you kind of with that suspicious eye, and that all you pastors are the same. Remember what I talked about last week, broad stroking, over-categorizing people. What does biblical leadership look like? And we have so many different examples given of what leadership needs to be. When I was in college, that we were given classes in this and how to be a biblical leader. But there were also some of those classes that I remember that leadership, they had some of the worldly elements in there of how the world leads and how the world handles things and not how God handles things. And so this morning, we're going to answer that question, well, what is biblical leadership and what does it look like? Because not all of you here, and this is sad to say, not all of you here will always be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. If you're in the military, you're going to get sent somewhere else, or maybe you're a young person, you're going to get married and God's going to call you somewhere else. And so whenever you go and you look at a church, you need to know what you're looking for. You need to know what if this is a good pastor or not, or if this is a good leadership of deacons. Is this biblical? What is going on in this church? By the way, we always strive to do things biblically here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Are we perfect all the time? No, but we definitely try. Amen. Pastor Harvey says amen to that. We try our very best to the Lord as the Lord gives us grace. Amen. It's only by the grace of God we can do anything for God, right? It's not about us. It's not about how great we are. It is about how good God is. All right, if we could stand together and look at 1 Peter chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1, we're going to read down through verse number 4, but then we're going to expand on to the rest of the chapter here in just a minute, but we'll start with the first 4 verses. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct our time this morning as we look at what you would have a leader to be. Oh Lord, we maybe have ideas or thoughts in our mind, but Lord, really what it comes down to and what matters is what you say. And I pray that as we look at the many verses that our hearts will be stirred. Lord, I pray for other leaders out there today that are in the auditorium or maybe listening, that they're leaders of their homes or leaders of their families. leaders at work or leaders in other areas, dear Lord, I pray that we would take on these attributes that you have shown us here. And Lord, we pray that you would guide and direct and strengthen us, dear Lord. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What is biblical leadership? What is biblical leadership? So right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to expand on through verse number 11 here in just a couple minutes. But this is talking about the pastoral leadership. And there is a whole section here that has to do with something in specifically having to do with those who are pastors, but also the rest of this section is also generally for every Christian or anybody that is in a leadership position. So there's going to be three areas. Now, we're going to go over a lot of verses today. We're going to be going through a lot of verses. I encourage you to take notes because, to be honest with you, I'm going to be cruising through here. You're probably not going to be able to turn to it in time by the time I get there because we're going to be moving. So I encourage you to write these references down and look back over it later. So we're going to look at verse here. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 again. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And so the first attribute we're going to look at, it is a comparison that what we see, what the Bible says, and also the negative that we see here of what we're not to be. So the first point is this morning, leading, not lording. So what is a biblical leader supposed to be? A biblical leader is to lead and not lord. What is the difference? We see that God calls leaders, especially pastors, to be the shepherds of the flock, to be in charge of a group of people, believers, to shepherd. Now, my job as a pastor is to shepherd here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And as Pastor Harvey, was his job to pastor and shepherd the flock here as he founded the church. That is our job that God has given to us. But right here, we see something very important, a phrase that is given here that we're to be in samples in verse number 3 to the flock, not being lords over God's heritage. So let's look at some attributes of a pastor as a shepherd. A pastor is someone who walks before his sheep. What that means is that I don't ask you to do something that I'm unwilling to do. That's something that when I preach something from the Word of God, that I put a greater expectation on myself than I do to the people I preach to. That is leading by example. Being in sample or example is what we are to be. Parents, we're to be leading by example. Don't say, do as I say, not as I do, right? That is unfortunately, a very dangerous way to think and a dangerous way to lead. If you are a leader and that you are unwilling and that you have a different expectation for yourself than for those that are under you, you are going to find yourself in trouble very quickly, and you will not have the respect of those that follow you. Let's look at Psalm 23, verse number 2. Psalm 23 and verse number 2. We have to understand that we are to be leading, whether it be as a pastor, or maybe you're leading a Sunday school class, or you are in an authority position in the ministry, or you're in an authority position at work, you're in an authority position at home, you're in an authority position at school, whatever it may be, we have to understand that we're to be an example. Psalm 23 in verse number 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So right here, leadership, guiding the sheep where they need to go, guiding them in what they need to hear and what they need to understand. That's especially important for our children. We need to lead our children in the right path. Well, we only need to lead them when they're a teenager. No, we need to lead them from when they're very young. Lead them in the path. Lead them because guess what? They know right and wrong by how you lead them. They know what is biblical and what is not by how you lead them, by your example. Do your kids know that mom and dad read their Bible every day and that you pray? If they don't know that, then there's going to be a problem. Especially when you say, well, you need to do your assignments here for Sunday school. You need to read your Bible. Your teacher said to read your Bible all week long this week. That's what they're hearing in Sunday school and children's church right now. That's what they're hearing. But then they say, well, why don't you read your Bible, Mom and Dad? Why don't you pray? Amen. We need to be examples to our children. If we want them to turn out for the Lord, we need to be spiritual examples. We also need to be examples in right and wrong, right? Don't expect your kid not to lie, but your kids know that you do. Amen. All right? And that you're dishonest. Well, it's not really being dishonest. Guess what? They hear you calling into work and coughing and say, I'm calling in sick when you really were out fishing. Okay? Your kids notice those things. Like, oh, kids don't understand all of that. They understand a whole lot more than we think. We need to be examples. A shepherd is one who walks before his sheep and leads them to the place they need to go. Doesn't say just go over there somewhere, but leads them. Number two, a shepherd is one who defends his sheep. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Guess what? We're entrusted. As the pastor, I'm entrusted with protecting the sheep from error, protecting it from people that would be a danger to them. That is my job. We see that with David. David defended the sheep of his father, and defended them from a lion and a bear through the power of God. And he spent his life being a shepherd to the nation of Israel, protecting them from the Philistines and protecting them from the enemies that were round about them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14 says this. Hold on, my pages are sticking together here. Hold on. One thing about using a new Bible, you get some pages that stick together a little bit. All right, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Guess what? Our job is, if we're in a leadership position, is to be a help to those that need help. Amen. If our children are struggling, it is our job to defend them. If they are getting themselves into a situation they ought not be in, that is your job to defend them. Not just say, well, they'll learn, right? They'll learn, right? Well, they're going out with their friends and whatever. They're going out late at night and they're going to be driving somewhere. Well, they'll learn. You don't want to be getting that phone call at 11 o'clock at night. Amen. Permissive parenting never ends well. We need to make sure we're leading and guiding and defending our children and our families. At different times, I've had to defend this church against doctrinal error at different times. Pastor Harvey's had to do it at different times. I preach messages, like I'm preaching right now, as a defense so that we can see what biblical leadership is to be. A defense for your family, a defense for your job, so that we know how to lead in the appropriate way. Defending. And defending means sometimes you get cut along the way and you get scarred along the way. But that's okay. That's part of being a shepherd. It's better to take the hits than those who are weak and ill or sickly and they can't take the hit. That's our job as leaders. Husbands, that's your job to do that for your wife. That's your job to defend her. Amen. Defend. I say this, and I've said this at different times. Would you fight somebody over your wife? Absolutely would. When we go through the mall and different things like that, and we're walking along, and my wife is very, very beautiful. If you don't think so, that's fine. But I know she is the most gorgeous woman in the universe. Amen. And by the way, none of you should be saying amen to she's beautiful, because then your wife is going to find out about it. But to me, she is the most beautiful woman in all the earth. So we're going through the mall at different times, and I have this habit of doing this. I'm very possessive of my wife. And you should be too. I think that's biblical. But we're going through the mall, and there are different times my wife is, as the Bible says, very fair to look upon. And there are some men that are walking by, and they think she looks beautiful, and they're kind of giving her the eye. You know what I do? I put my arm around her, I look them straight in the eye, and I was like, hey, she's mine. Amen? Get your eyes off her! Amen? And a lot of times I'll go over and I'll give her a big kiss and I'll look right back at him and say, hey, how do you like that? right? She's mine. And, you know, they always put their head down and look away. And I just turn around, I keep, and they look back, and they see me looking at them. You know why? Because I want them to know, I saw you. Right? We need to defend our wife. We need to protect your wife against all kinds of things. Protect your wife emotionally. Protect your wife from overwork. Our wives work so hard, they can overwork themselves. Amen. Need to protect them. Need to protect them physically, emotionally, spiritually. Need to protect them and be a defense for them. Also, this is what a pastor does, and a shepherd is a shepherd. The job of a shepherd is not only to protect them and to lead them, but his job, ultimately, in keeping healthy sheep, needs to feed them. Right? If you're a shepherd out there and you don't feed the sheep, you're eventually not going to have sheep to shepherd anymore. Right? Unfortunately, you see that with some churches today. They are big for a while, but they end up dwindling down to nothing. Why? Because the pastor's not feeding the sheep. And the sheep go elsewhere to find something to eat. Right? But here we go. Well, that's my job as a pastor, to feed the sheep. Look at John 21. John 21 and verses 15 through 21. But also, it's a husband's job and a father's job, of course, to feed your family physically, but we're talking spiritually here. Spiritual leadership and biblical leadership. Are you providing for your family? By the way, I don't think any of us here today would do very well if Sunday and Wednesday were the only days that you ate. That you only ate Sunday morning, and then you ate Sunday night. Like, well, I could get through that. And then you didn't eat again until Wednesday night. And then you didn't eat all day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Man, you would have not be in good health. Amen? So what happens in church? In church is a wonderful thing. Amen? And we ought to be here as often as we can. Because when we're here, we are feeding on the manna from heaven. We are feeding on the Bible. But dads, if you're a husband, you need to be feeding your kids all week long. You need to be feeding your family. You need to be feeding yourself by going to the Word of God daily. Amen? So this is extra. Amen? Praise the Lord. That church is extra. We should be having an overflowing, and that's how we're going to have victory. If you want a victory in your life, you better be in the Bible. If you want to have victory in your prayer, I mean, you need to be in prayer every day. Not just during prayer meeting time on Wednesday night or just when we have special prayer times. You know what happens? That when we pray for revival, we had revival in March last year, and we prayed for revival, and that was great, and God, I think, brought that about and really stirred people's hearts. I know it stirred mine, but at the same time, let's think about it. When we got down and we prayed, was that the first time we prayed for revival in a long time? Or do we pray for it? We pray for it in our nation. Do we pray for it in our own lives? But are we feeding the sheep? It's my job as a pastor to study all week long and to pray and ask God, God, what would you have me to feed your sheep? They're not mine, by the way. When it says God's heritage, they're not my sheep. They're God's sheep. I'm just put in charge of them, just like David was put in charge of his father's sheep. They weren't his. They were his father's sheep. So I must take care of them properly. John 21, let's look there, 15 through 21. I had it and I flipped away again. Here we go. So what, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto me, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And so he's talking about his death here. But was it to Peter, the question to Peter was, Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. If we love the Lord, we're going to feed those spiritually that are under us, whether it be our wife, whether it be our children. We need to be doing, that's what family devotions is. That's feeding time for the family. Not just for you, but it's also for the others, right? And sometimes, you know, to be honest with you, it's hard sometimes because you've got this really amazing truth you got in your devotions, but remember, you're talking to children, okay? And then that sometimes the hard thing is that you want to tell them this really amazing spiritual truth, but they don't have the maturity to fully understand it. You know, you tell it to them, and you're super excited about it, and then they're like, hey, Dad. Yeah. I think I've got that. You know, I've sanctification and the substitutionary death. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, and then they're trying to say, yeah, I'm really not understanding what he is saying. Make sure when you do family devotions that you're feeding them something they can eat. Amen? The sincere milk of the word. So be giving them something. Also, don't be giving them baby stuff either if they can handle something more. Feed them. Feed them what's appropriate, what's age appropriate, what's maturity appropriate. Feed the sheep. All right. I don't think I'm going to finish this message. I got to start moving along. Okay, hitting the fast forward button. All right. So a pastor, what a pastor should be. A pastor's a shepherd. Second, a pastor should not be a lord. So leading, not lording. Looked at the leading part, but not lording. What does that mean? Means to dominate. Dominate. God does not call us to dominate, he calls us to serve him. Matthew 20, verse number 25 through 26. Matthew 20, verse 25 through 26 says this, but Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be greatest among you, let him be your minister. Christ forbade lording. As the Gentiles have dominion and they grind you into the dirt, God's leader, the biblical leadership, is not grinding somebody into the dirt and saying, well, I'm bigger, I'm badder, I'm in charge. That's not biblical leadership. But another attribute of a Lord promotes himself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Lord promotes himself, that he is the one in charge, and that he has to let everybody know that he's in charge all the time. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 says this, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. That's what happened at the church at Corinth. They had split into groups. Well, I'm for Peter, and I'm for Paul. Well, I'm for Apollos. You know, they were about being for a man. We're supposed to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, not about a man. You see some people out there, they're self-promoting, you know. I've actually had missionaries tell me this, that they're trying to get a meeting, and they said, oh, yes, and I know so-and-so, and I'm not going to mention names here, but I know so-and-so, and I know so-and-so. I've been in so-and-so's church, and so-and-so. One time I said, and? And they're like, what do you mean, and? Don't you understand who I am? I understand you're not going to be getting a meeting at our church. That's what I understand. Because it was about him and about who he knew and about what church he's been in. I don't care, and we shouldn't either, by the way. It should be about the relationship with the Lord. I'm glad that they got a meeting in those places. But if you're trying to get a meeting at church here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, it's not about, do you know who I am? No, I don't, and I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not in the loop of things. I'm not in the whole pastor's fellowship thing and all of that thing. And I'm glad. There's a lot of politics there and a lot of things that no one needs anything about. Amen? But it's not about promoting yourself. It's about promoting the Lord and what the Lord has called you to do. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to go over there real quick. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 says this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake, servants all the way through the Old New Testament. Service, service, service. In that, Paul could have been a lord. He could have done that. He could have wielded his authority. And sometimes he did have to, as an apostle, use his authority that God had given him in ways that needed to be done because of sin and different things. But he said, I am a servant. We're not here to try to bring people to ourselves. We're pointing people to Christ. He wasn't a lord. A lord also demands respect instead of earning it. When I was a teenager, I was a part of Civil Air Patrol, which is an auxiliary of the Air Force, and one of the things in leadership training that they got right, it's actually this biblical principle, but one of the things was if you're a leader, because I was coming up into the NCO area as a cadet, and I was coming up into leadership, and one of the things that they taught you in there and said, and stuck with me, it really was impressed upon my mind, said that if you want to be a leader, be the right kind of leader. If a leader first needs to learn to be a follower. A leader needs to learn to be a follower. Who are you following? If you're going to be the right kind of leader, you need to be a follower of Christ. Amen? As a Christian. If you're going to be the right kind of leader in any area of your life, it doesn't matter family, doesn't matter job, doesn't matter military, doesn't matter in the church. If you're not following Christ, you're not going to be the right kind of leader. You need to learn to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, and then God will make you into the leader you need to be. And the second thing that stuck with me, he said, those that demand respect will never have it. Say that again. Those that demand respect will never have it. Respect is earned by example. An ensample. Amen? Now, you do have to respect the office. And I said, well, that's right, I thought. They're not being the right kind of person, so I don't have to respect their position of authority. It went on to say that we still respect the office they hold, maybe if they are not respect worthy. That's why I know that we have a lot of problems with our president right now. And it's becoming harder and harder to say this, but still the fact still remains. The president of the United States of America is still a respected office in our nation. It still is. And I understand there's a lot of issues there and there's a lot of things going on, but when it comes down to it, do we still show respect to the office of the president of the United States? Yes, we do. It's hard. It's coming harder and harder. It's hard, but we must. I'm not saying we have to agree with everything that comes out of that office, okay? I'm not saying that, but we show respect to it. Maybe that's the same way we show respect to the police officers, amen? Show them respect. They deserve respect. You know what? Firefighters, they deserve respect. Well, I know one that did this and that. Okay, in my family, there are several generations of police officers and different things. Trust me, there's a lot of simple things that go on in the background, okay? We know that. That's how a lost world deals with the stress they deal with. But they're heroes, though. They are heroes. My uncle was a Texas State Trooper for 35 years, and he worked for the Bureau of Investigation. He went undercover as a drug dealer to break up the big drug cartels and drug groups in New York City back in the 70s, and that was a dangerous time. He did that for years and received several commendations. Guess what? Police officers are there to help and to protect. Guess what? When someone's breaking into your house, they're there. So we need to show them respect. Well, they did this and that. Who does everything right? No one does everything right. But we still respect the office. We still respect the offices of the ranks in our military. We show respect. Also, a Lord desires position instead of service. Look at Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. Desires position instead of service. Position instead of service. And then I'm done with point number one. We got two more to go. I'm going to have to condense this down a little bit more. I guess it's good to overstudy, overprepare for something. Amen? All right. Matthew. Now, there's so many things I want to say, so I'm just going to have to kind of skip through this a little bit. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. Because I have another sermon for tonight that I think you're going to enjoy. But anyway, Proverbs 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Verse 8, be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So with the Pharisees, the problem was is they would be greatly offended if someone didn't call them by their proper title, they were upset by it. They would be very, very upset by that. They would tell people to do things but wouldn't do them themselves. So everything we've described here, they were lords. They did not desire to serve. Those that are in biblical leadership, a biblical leadership example, they're willing to serve in whatever capacity they need to. It doesn't matter how small or large, they're willing to serve wherever God would have them serve. All right, let's continue on very quickly. Number two, submitting, not dividing. Look at verses 5 and 6 of 1 Peter 5. Let's look over there. So we're going to continue on here, verses 5 and 6. Submitting, not dividing. Likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under, what it says here, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So a pastor is a shepherd. He needs to be one who is humble, one who submits to God, and one who serves others, wanting nothing in return. This is important, that we see that humility once again. We've been looking at service. We've been looking at reaching our Jerusalem, at ministering. Humility is key in every area of service to Christ. If we're to be the proper leader, humility. But that's not what the world teaches. World teaches you have to show how big and bad and strong you are. No, to serve Christ, you need to lay that down and say, not what I want, but what you want, Lord. It's not what I desire, but what you desire, Lord. It's not how I want to respond, Lord. It's how you want me to respond. Submitting yourself under the mighty hand of God. Remembering who God is and how powerful he is. Submitting yourself under the mighty hand of God. Well, what about a pastor says should be a shepherd, but should not be a lord? A lord is proud in every way. Whether it be a pastor who's this way, or a father that's this way, or a husband that's this way, or a manager, whatever it is. If you're this way and you lord it, that look at me, I've done all this. I have all this experience. I have all this knowledge, and I'm better than you. I know more than you. Why don't you just get with it? I know more than you do. Oh, we shouldn't be lording over anyone. A lord is full of pride in himself. A lord will divide. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:25. They will divide. Because of their pride, division is going to come. We see that there needs to be unity. There needs to be in one accord, as we saw in Acts. But if you have pride, you are going to divide. You will divide a household. You will divide a family. You will divide a church. If you have pride, 1 Corinthians 12:25 says this, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. But pride will cause us to not care for others as we should, and also pride will not enable us to rejoice with others when they are praised and exalted. They've accomplished something. Well, I should have done that. Well, why are they getting praised? I did more. That's pride. A lord is proud, and that will cause division. And a lord will not serve, only drive. What I mean by that, just as we looked at before, they're not going to serve. They're going to drive everyone else in front of them. That they're going to be out there. I'll never forget this. I was working at a place, and I was working with somebody who was actually here, and we had an assignment to go out, and we were doing a project here at the church. I think it was doing something in the shed or something, and someone here that was serving at the church, not here now, but was serving at the church, and so I gave them, said, hey, you know, we're going to be out there at this time doing this, and we're going to be working outside. And there was a couple, I think it's the teenagers were there, and different ones were there. And we're going to be out there working. And they're like, okay, that's fine. And so they came out, and they worked for about 10 minutes. And, you know, we're all, this is heavy work. It's summertime. You know, we're all sweating and stuff. And then after about 10 minutes, I couldn't find this individual. And they had come inside, and they were sitting in their office in the air conditioning and just sitting there working. And I just came in and said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm finished with my work. And I kept my cool. I really didn't want to at that moment, but I said, but why? He says, oh, that work isn't for me. This is my work. And he put, you know, he has bookshelves, and this is my work. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what God has called me. I said, okay, and I walked out of the office. I talked to him about it later, but I just walked out of the office because I was going to get upset. Guess what? That's not someone that has a servant's heart. A servant's heart, you know, I'm not, by the way, I am not proclaiming, I'm patting myself on the back, but of all the vehicles I've been under and all of the times I've frozen to death out doing different things and helping people, but that's okay. I like doing that. I like doing that. I know some of those things were not enjoyable, serving at different ways and doing different things, going out and burning. Trust me, I don't like the Texas sun. How many of you love the Texas sun? Raise your hand. A couple of you do. Praise the Lord, you are a special person. You are in the summertime in August when it's 120. You love it still? From somebody who's from New York, I don't love it, okay? I'm out there sweating. You know, one of the things, I try to get all the outdoor projects done in April or May before it gets really hot, you know, out there. And, you know, VBS, you know, driving a bus when it's 120 is not fun. Right, Brother Scott? It's not funny. And it's not fun at all. I mean, you're sweating and you can't get any air movement. And at least they got air movement in the back, but you got nothing. Guess what? That's all part of service to the Lord. It's okay. Are we willing to do that? Oh, no, I'm only driving a bus if it has air conditioning. All right, if you've got money for that, that's go right ahead, you know. But really, it's about submitting, not dividing. And then let's look at verses 8 and 9 really quick, and we're done. Resisting, not retreating. Resisting, not retreating. So look at verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So a pastor is a shepherd. You know what his job is? He's to defend. His job is to resist the devil. First of all, personally, those of you in here will never know the burdens or the things that the devil puts upon a pastor. All the feelings and thoughts of failure, all of the thoughts of discouragement, all of that. There's a lot of pressure at times, and you know when it comes on Saturday before Sunday. And it comes on Wednesday afternoon before Wednesday night. It comes, and you know you're just feeling off. Guess what? There needs to be a resisting of the devil, and that's only through prayer. Guess what? If you're a leader and said, you know, I just feel that pressure. Guess what? If you're a leader in here today and you're doing right, the devil's got your number. He's going to go after you. Keep resisting, not in the flesh, but in the power of God. Because he's walking around waiting for somebody to dare to stand up to him, and he's going to try and go after you. But guess what? If you're standing and if you've submitted yourself under the mighty hand of God, you have an almighty God in your corner. Amen. Oh, you need to resist to protect the lambs and the sheep. Must resist the devil in attempts to undermine the church. Guess what? The devil's always trying to work and always trying to work to undermine his church, the God's church. Always trying. And you know what? I was driving. I was listening to some good godly music from the wilds. And I think it was on a Thursday or Friday. And you know what? Was just listening to it and being encouraged. And a thought occurred to me. And you know what? And I said, you know what? It's so wonderful to know that my God can kick the devil in the teeth. Amen. And, you know, that just gives us excited. You know what? I'm there, and, you know, the devil's trying to discourage. And I said, Lord, kick him one. And he does, amen. I guess I'm getting a little more Pastor Harvey in me a little bit. But, you know, that's the truth. That's the reality that we can have. We have that victory. It's not that Christ is going to win. He already did. We have victory that we can claim. But we need to resist the devil's attempts. Now, a pastor that's a lord or someone that's a lord in a spiritual leader sense, guess what? The devil comes calling, hey, I can handle this. I can take him out. I'm big. I'm bad. You're done. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, take heed lest you fall. Right? Take heed lest you fall. Matthew 26:41, we're not turning over there. But what happens is defeat will come. They will fall. And what happens, you know, these churches, there's churches out there that a pastor is the Lord of that place. Unfortunately, a lot of the big churches are that way. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. They're really big churches that they've made a program. But what happens, and you know what happens with a lot of these big churches? Not, like I said, not all of them. I'm not putting all in the same boat, but there's are some. Why do they keep moving with the culture? Why do they keep moving and shifting with the music and shifting with the dress of the times and shifting with everything? Why is that? Because instead of resisting, they retreated. Because they tried to fight the devil off themselves and it didn't work. And they're in a perpetual retreat. And they're going to keep retreating as far as the devil can push them. You know, maybe you've been a Lord in your family. Maybe you've been a Lord at work. Guess what? Eventually, you're going to come to a place of defeat and you're going to have to retreat. But remember that the ground that we have, if we give up ground to the devil, remember, it's not our ground. It's not our possession. We're giving up ground that the Lord has, and we're giving it over to the devil. You never see the Lord mention retreat here in His Word. And the Christian life, retreat isn't mentioned. Steadfast, stay put. At the very least, stay put. Be going forward for Him. But if you're in a real battle, at least stay put. Don't go backwards. Stand and do battle. That's a biblical leader's job, is to stand and to fight. Not to fight each other. Not to fight the brethren. Amen. That the Bible talks very clearly about that. Don't fight the brethren. Fight the devil. You know, that's what's really going on. A lot of people, you know, what they, you know, with the politics going on right now, you know, the different parties, the Republican parties, I thought it was an illustration that was appropriate, is that circle firing. They're all in a circle firing at each other. Right? That's unfortunately what Christians do sometimes. They all sit around in a circle and fire at each other. Instead of, and you know, the devil loves that. I said, great. Fight each other. You don't have to worry about me. I'll just go over here and not bother anybody. And he goes and ravages and destroys. So what is biblical leadership? Hope that you've been able to see some of the attributes here today. But are we being a biblical leader? By the way, it's not just men. Yes, men are being given the job of being a biblical leader in the church and in homes and different things. But also you ladies, you lead at home too. You lead in your classes. You lead in different areas as well. Are you being a biblical leader? Is, oh, women don't struggle with these things. Women aren't lords. Pastor Harvey's eyebrows go up. Oh, no, not. It depends on what area that they're in. I mean, we've all met people that, you know, they have an area of the church, and if someone strays into their area, all right? What are you doing in my area over here? Oh, that's not being a biblical leader. Kindness and compassion, amen. That's a whole other message that I'll preach someday. But tonight, this morning, what is a biblical leadership? I hope we've been able to see that. What I talked about earlier in the beginning of the message is that there's been a real demeaning of the pastoral office, unfortunately. It is a one of respect. The Bible says they're worthy of double honor. But, and especially with the younger generation, that they are very much, it's been diminished in their eyes because they focus on the mistakes of other people that they see around them. Whenever you look at something, you cannot focus on the mistakes others have made. And because this person's made a mistake, and this person's made a mistake, and this person makes a mistake, therefore this person will make that mistake too. Right? And we can't live like that. Right? If you live like that in relationships, you know, if you are maybe courting, if you're a young man and you're courting a young lady, isn't it sad I have to say that now? That's the culture we live in. I have to actually differentiate what I'm talking about, because our culture says, oh, that could mean a lot of things. That could be guy and a guy, girl and a girl. I have to say that now. Is that a young man courting a young lady and maybe she's had a couple of relationships before, or maybe you have had, well, this young lady did this and it broke my heart, and this young lady did this and it broke my heart. Therefore, this new one is going to do the same thing. Guess what? Is that person ever going to find someone to marry? Very unlikely. All right. Why? Because they can't let go of the past. that we have to understand people are individuals. Not everybody's the same. Everybody's an individual. There's individual people in leadership. There's individual people in areas. I was talking to Brother Matheny last week. There's hypocrites in every area, right? There's hypocrites in church, in biblical churches. There's hypocrites in Mormonism. There's hypocrites everywhere that they don't do. They are not what they present themselves to be. That doesn't mean, well, I'm just done with church because of hypocrites. That's pretty silly. I mean, there's hypocrites everywhere. So we need to keep this in view, that biblical leadership, what we need to be looking for. But I'm not, some people are saying, well, I'm done with the Bible because of this. I'm done with church. I'm done with all of this because of some people that made mistakes. You can't do that. You can't do that. To be honest, it's a rather immature way of viewing life. Well, I don't like how this went, therefore I am done with it. You can't live your life like that. You must take those things and move on with them. You look at a mistake someone made, that's sad, but we move on. I mean, if I did that, and I said, well, look at the mistakes of other people, look at the mistakes of this person over here, and this pastor fell, and this pastor fell, and this pastor doesn't do right, and this one over here, guess what? I would have quit a long time ago. But I had to come to a place. It's not about men. It's about God. It's not about culture. It's about the Bible. It's not about labels. It's about truth. Amen. That's what it's really about. And so when we get into the book and we get into the truth and we strive to be the leaders that God wants us to be, that's what's really pleasing to Him. It doesn't matter. Guess what? I say, well, I live my life pleasing you, Pastor. I do this to please somebody. There are people out there that when their pastor falls, they go off and leave the faith. Why? Because they're living to please their pastor, not living to please God. I don't want you to live to please me. Because if you're living to please me, you're not pleasing God. And my goal is for you to please God. It's not about a man. It's about Jesus Christ. So this morning, are you being the biblical leader that you need to be? Are you being the father? Are you being the husband? Are you being the leader at work or the leader at school? Are you being the right kind of follower if you're under authority? Are you being the right kind of follower, biblical follower? That's a whole other message right there. But are we being what God would have us be? Not what the culture says. You know, the culture said, you might say you're doing pretty good. But does God say you're doing what is appropriate and acting in the ways that He would have you act? Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless our time this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that you, dear Lord, would work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, help us to be the leaders that you would have us to be. Leadership is so demeaned in our culture, especially in the area of husbands and fathers, that they're just the dumb idiots that don't know what's going on. Oh, Lord, that's such a terrible thing to describe a family. And unfortunately, there are wives out there that treat their husbands that way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be humble and submit ourselves to you, and that we would become the leaders that you would have us to be, not because we're proud, but because you desire us to, and we love you, dear Lord. And I pray that you would be with this invitation. Help us, Lord, to look for those things and the right kind of things in people, to encourage others. And Lord, if we all submit ourselves to you, dear Lord, we'll have sweet fellowship one with another. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.